the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
You can tell by the way he uses his walk, he's a ladies' man, witch. No time to talk. Whether you're a brother, whether you're a mother, you're staying alive with the witches on this hilarious disco-themed episode. And now, Lisa, Shelley, and Daryl.
To another Witchy Wednesday, the podcast with sass.
Sassy.
We are your podcast, Good Witch, Bad Witch, and we would like to introduce, who's we? I have goddamn mouse in my pocket. What the hell am I talking about?
Our alter ego.
Start over.
What is it? The queen's we, or the, what do you say when it's like?
You say, Sybil.
Which Lisa is going to introduce the show?
Which person? I would like to introduce you to the show Good Witch, Bad Witch with your Good Witch, Shelley Majors.
Heidily ho.
I'm your Bad Witch, Sybil Brown. And we also have the Man Witch.
Yo, yo, yo. That's a Man Witch with two ands, by the way. And thank you very much for that introduction from both of you, Lisa.
He has to explain it every week like he's in the Yellow Pages. Yeah, yeah. Don't call the other Man Witch.
Right?
Don't call the one end guy.
I try not to get sued
joke.
Here from the sloppy joke.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's happening.
Yeah, we're on their radar. Yeah.
Oh, that damn other Man Witch. I'm going to get the other Man Witch with one and only, I say.
Yeah, I got to tell you about the cease and desist I got about the whole Man Witch situation.
Pretty soon, he's not sitting there. There's just a freaking can.
We should open it up with that sometime. Just have a can here, and yeah. I'll be back there voicing.
All three of our listeners would be like, that was hilarious.
Gosh, only two out of three got that.
Today, we all just...
It was funny that it wasn't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Today, our show is called Blame It on the Boogie, and we are going to be talking about some disco in the 70s and stuff like that. But we wanted to also just recognize that this will be the show right before Halloween, and we wanted to talk a little bit Halloween-y stuff.
Ooh, how's your weenie?
How's your Halloween-y?
Yes.
As long as it's not a dick ghost, that's all I care about.
Halloween is so much like Christmas in that it's a very... a child-centric holiday. Like, it is more fun when you have kids.
Is it?
It is. Okay. I think, and then, although unless you want to dress like sexy pizza or whatever,
right,
every
yeah.
Sexy nurse vampire. Uh-huh. But I love that Halloween has become more fun and competitive for adults. Like, the how people are doing their houses
yeah.
and decorating the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it was so scary for so long with, you know, COVID and razor blades and all that other things. And kids were only trick-or-treating at school. And now people are really embracing the spooky season again.
How what time do you think is too early to start decorating your house for Halloween?
September.
That's too early?
Yeah.
It has to be like October 1st?
Yeah.
But then you only have it for a month.
So?
Whereas
that's
Christmas...
one hell of a good month.
Okay. All right.
But
thinking mid.
But you might have an Indian summer. You're enjoying the twinkling of the leaves. You got the autumn.
You know what
mountains.
They should have done? Hmm. They should have switched Thanksgiving and Halloween. Because don't you think, like, with the leaves falling and stuff and all that colors, go with Thanksgiving a little more?
That's the smartest thing you've ever
said. Though. I mean...
the Universal Day. The King's Day.
The people that switch it. You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean...
Yeah, because you want Halloween when the trees are all dead and not lively and sparkly.
They got no leaves on them.
Exactly.
Well, no, I get that, but it's not, it wasn't like when this happened, like there was like, we need a calendar for...
Just say it's a good idea.
It's a good idea, whatever.
give me a props there.
All right, there you go. Prop. Okay, so what are you guys doing for Halloween?
I'm working 12 hours. How about you guys?
Oh, gross.
I will be on my front porch because I've got a lot of little guys around our neighborhood.
Yes.
And they've come to know me and Lisa over the years, especially our neighbors. They've got six kids next door, and we always make a special candy for them. You know, it's a thing. Here's your special candy. No, we make. I always feel like gloves with Tootsie Rolls in the fingers and stuff like that.
Cute.
And I make little rubber gloves and stuff, mm-hmm. and I give those to the kids, and they love it. So this year, my next door neighbor kid goes, "Hey, Daryl, you're going to be handing out the candy this year?" And I said, "Well, yeah, of course, buddy. I always do." He goes, "Can I just have a glove?" And I'm like, "No candy." He goes, "Well, I just want a glove because I want to paint it red and put it on. You'll get to wear it for Halloween." I'm like, "I'll get you two."
There you go. A glove with candy and one without.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that is so fun. What kind of candy do you guys buy?
We haven't bought it yet.
We usually do Tootsie Rolls and stuff like that.
No, we do chocolate too. Yeah. But I've got stickers for all the kids because we gave stickers out last year. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not talking little stickers, like the big ones that are like $2 a piece or something.
Yeah.
And they just lost their
minds. All the
kids
went flip-ziggy out here.
Good.
Because it's something different.
Exactly.
The funny thing was they loved it, but the neighbors didn't like it because cars were stuck with stickers on.
Oh, no, he's lying.
No, they didn't do that.
Daryl says that we need candy on top of it. I don't think so.
But I agree.
I think you do. I don't want to be egged. I want to be candied, stickered, and happy.
All right. Well, and then we get the leftover candy. So, absolutely. Yeah, I have to work, and then I'm going to be here to give out candy because I think it's fun to look at the kids.
Yes.
We do have so many kids around here. Can I tell the cute little story that happened to us the other day? It's not Halloween related, but it, you know.
I don't know.
So me and Lisa, we're going to back out of the garage and stuff, and the neighbor's kids had their friends over and stuff, and they come running over to us, and they're like, guys, guess what? A car just pulled up in front of the house and rolled down his window, and he was looking at us. And I go, what color was the car? They go, it was either black or it was dark blue or something. But he rolled down the window and just sat and looked at us. I go, did you guys scream and run up to the front door?
Stranger danger.
Yeah, they go, yes, yes. And I go, well, remember, stranger danger. Well, this little girl that was with him goes, well, I don't know you. And I'm talking to you. And I go, well, I'm kind of like these guys' uncle. I'm like the fun uncle. Uh-huh. And she goes, oh, okay, cool. So, we're like, now get off the driveway so we can back out. So we back out. Well, I had my window down and we're backing out. And I go to pull away. And that little girl goes, bye, uncle.
Oh. You know what I call my hot boyfriend?
Yeah.
A hunkle.
A
hunkle. He's got three nieces, and I think he's really hot.
Ah, nice.
He's a hunkle.
Nice, but it's so cute. But we do have a lot of great kids around the neighborhood, so it's fun. But when we first moved here, it was COVID. So we made a basket full of candy, and we set it down on the couple steps down from our stoop. But we sat on our front porch and watched kids come up. And they'd come up, and they're like, how many pieces can we take? We're like, just take a couple. And like, okay. And then after they finally could come up and stuff, we're handing out candy, and this kid goes, can I get a little more?
Greedy? No, please?
But we had some older kids come one time, and it was towards the end of the night. And I'm like, at that point, And, you always see that people going, they could be out doing worse things. Don't blame them.
Exactly.
I don't blame them if they're
trick-or-treating at all.
If they're out trick-or-treating or whatever.
Maybe borrow a kid.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. We had some adults trick-or-treating, too. But
we were at a few years ago, we went to Shannon's, and we thought that we would get home in time to trick-or-treat, but we didn't. By the time we got home, it was like, there was nobody,
no traffic.
So we came, and Daryl's kind of standing on the porch hoping that, and these kids were kind of walking, but they were like, I don't even know if they were walking away. They were like teenagers. And they weren't walking to our house. They was just like walking away from our house. And Daryl like ran. He's like, do you want some candy? Do you want some candy?
Hey, little kids, do you want some candy?
Like, they're like, okay. And I was like, oh my God, you probably scared the shit out of me.
They're like, what? And they stopped. And I'm like, here. I said, nobody came. So here. They were happy. But.
Oh, I bet. They got the whole thing. I have a Halloween complaint that maybe our faithful listeners can help with. So I finally, because now that I'm living in the burbs, bought some Halloween candy. And they're very elitist. You know, it's kind of like a brand loyal thing. You know, all the Nestle people do it a certain way and all the whatever, which makes sense because that's the deal. M&M Mars has their own combo packages and stuff. But what I want is a combo of good chocolate stuff. And by good chocolate stuff, I mean Almond Joys and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And good chewy stuff. And by that, I mean Sour Patch Kids and Twizzlers.
Mm. Yes.
So they have like an all chewy set and an all chocolate set. Yeah. I'm like, I don't need your stinking Whoppers. Whoppers taste like feet. I don't understand like Whoppers. You can have all my Whoppers.
Okay.
But what's the deal, guys? I mean, can't they unite for a common good at Halloween time, which is like their Christmas?
You buy more.
Yeah, because you want that.
A package of that. Yep. Mm-hmm. They've got me by the what.
They do.
They got you by the Twizzler.
They've
got me by the Twizzler.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they got good grip on your Almond Joy.
Yes.
Yep.
So how do you think that Halloween has changed from the 70s to now?
It's crazy because I was thinking about this last night. When I was growing up and in my neighborhood, we would, we knew all the neighbors pretty much. My neighborhood, and then my grandmother would come and hand out candy too from her house, but at our house. But my grandmother made candied apples.
Ooh, yeah.
And candied, not candy,
The popcorn balls.
Homemade popcorn balls. Yes. But wrapped them up in her cellophane and everything. And like she made cinnamon ones. It just was great. They can't do that no more.
No
homemade food. I remember we used to get cookies when I was a kid. Go out, like my Avelda, the old lady that lived next door. She always had cookies.
Yes.
You know, in a little lunch bag or whatever. But yeah, you'd go around the neighborhood and you always came home and you're like, oh, yes, I got Mrs. Salazar such and such.
Yeah.
You know, you always knew who was going to give what, but you don't have that no more.
Well, now you have people also, like one of my clients was telling me that she goes to a house where you can either pick a full-size candy bar or a toy.
Wow.
Yeah. Where's this house?
I know, right?
That's amazing.
I think I still have a lot
of people are giving away different stuff like toys and our grandkids got Pops one year.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like soda pop.
You know, the funniest thing, I remember one time the kids went out trick-or-treat and then we get back, they're like, raisins? Really?
Yeah, well, they did a lot. We got raisins.
Yeah, but it was funny because it'll for them.
I don't mind raisins.
Yeah.
No, and I think Brett got a ramen one time.
Yeah, and somebody got microwave popcorn.
Oh my God.
Microwave popcorn?
Yeah, somebody ran out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was such a 70s thing. The popcorn ball thing reminds me of, seemed like everything that our parents made had that Karo corn syrup in it. I haven't seen a bottle of that since probably 40 years ago.
I haven't seen it.
Pull your crowns out.
Well, supposedly if somebody was pregnant, if you take spoonfuls of that, right?
No, it's when your baby has an upset stomach.
That's what it is.
You put a little bit of Karo syrup and some warm water and it helps her stomach.
I'll be darned.
I was thinking castor oil.
Yeah, castor oil.
Karo syrup,
I think that makes you poop.
You're thinking of Diddy castor oil, you dirty Diddy bapa.
Okay, I got my castor oils and my Karo syrup mixed up. And also in the 70s, they didn't have things like they do now, like trick-or-treat streets or trunk-or-treats.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I don't remember a whole lot of haunted houses unless somebody made one.
Yes.
But nowadays, they're ridiculously priced.
Oh, yeah.
Well, really elaborate.
They are, and I get that. But it also, I mean, $40 to $50 a person?
Cuckoo pants.
Yeah.
For something that's terrible.
And people who are walking. I mean, we went to that. The last one I went to was with Danica and Andrew. Mm-hmm. And we were in line for...
Ever. And then we got up there, and I was just kidding around, and it was right after I had that stroke thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, God, I hope it's not too scary. I just got out of the hospital after having a stroke. And the guy goes, I didn't hear nothing. The gal running the door.
Yeah, sign this waiver.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't they do, like, you would actually go into people's houses and they'd have a little haunted house.
Oh, yeah.
You have the blindfold and you touch the grapes and they were like eyeballs or spaghetti
was the best one
with
ever.
Guts. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
It seemed like nobody does the trick part of trick or treat at all. Was that a 60s thing or a 70s?
I don't remember. I don't remember it ever happening in my lifetime.
Yeah. It's kind of like truth or dare. Everybody just says truth.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Trick or treat. I just want chocolate.
No, more so I would say trick or treat, just treats.
Yeah. Well, that one guy, when Caden was just a little guy, he went up to the door, and I think Chad knew the guy, and he goes, you can have this if only I can get into your bag and pick something, swap out something. And Caden goes,
what?
Just kind of stood there like this, and the guy looked. He goes, you've got nothing I want through it. But it was that. So that
he was teasing him.
That was kind of cool, yeah.
He did a trick.
That is a trick. Yeah. That's cute. Well, I think the costumes are a lot better now, a lot more creative.
Oh, well,
people do a lot more homemade ones. They're not plastic or flammable.
Well,
you can breathe.
My ultimate all-time favorite costume when I was a kid, I got Casper one year.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it had the plastic little mask, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think I even went to sleep in that thing after it was, you know, it's July. I'm
going to be Casper tonight. I bet you were so cute.
But the thing about those is, you know, the masks were like cumbersome and then you breathe and they get all gooey. But the little string thing, once that broke, and your mask was done.
It's over. And it had a teeny tiny mouth hole.
You could fix it.
I bet you could.
Because they have Michaels and Hobby Lobbies.
Yes.
Oh, they got all kinds of stuff. But back then you're like, okay.
The glue gun is more expensive than the costume.
That's true. Don't you wish you could just buy one of those plastic masks and just like put it on and...
Oh, I'm sure there's vintage places that still have
seven.
It. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Wasn't that little 70s Casper one in a horror movie? Because if not, it should be.
I don't think so.
No, he was just, you know, the friendly ghost.
Yeah, but let's make the horror movie version of it. Casper is scary as hell ghost.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. Should. Poor Casp.
Let's do it. What was your favorite costume you ever wore, Lisa? Or that you ever did one of your animals, whatever you dressed up your animals as.
I wasn't prepared. I can't think. I don't know. You?
I thought it was really cute. Was it last year when we had Fiona and Linus as Salt and Pepper?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
They were real cute. Really
one
cute.
Of you guys had to have gone as Raggedy Ann and Andy.
I
went as
Raggedy
Everybody
Ann.
Says. But yeah, no, you I never did.
Yeah, so you had to. Yeah, okay. I did, not
I
so.
Have pictures of it. I'll have
yeah, when you were, your hair was red and curly, for reals. It wasn't even a hair.
It wasn't even a wig.
It wasn't even a wig. It was hair.
Yeah.
My favorite little kid one, my mom made, I don't know if she made the dress, but I had a long white dress with long sleeves, and then she took a white sash and with silver glitter paint, put Miss America on it.
Aww.
$2. And I cute. Felt like the most gorgeous woman in the world. Cute. I probably was, yeah, to be honest cool. with you.
And then the next year, she could have just dumped a bunch of fake blood on you. You could
and
have been Carrie.
That's pretty creative.
Yeah,
you get to wear it twice.
Double up. Yeah.
I did the Olivia Newton-John at the end of Grease.
Oh,
time.
My God. I remember. I was so jealous.
Yeah.
That she was had the black
the
slickery
stuff?
Pants.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah.
She was pretty badass.
Pink. Ooh. Pink
let's redo that one.
Jacket.
Yeah. Well, yeah, again, like we talked about in the last episode, the sexualization of minors.
Yeah.
Lisa looked like a 22-year-old woman at eight.
With her big high stilettos and everything. And
nice.
Stuff. I walked around that school like a hooker.
Like a hooker.
Wow.
That owned
eighth grade
it.
Hooker.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
8-year-old hooker. Eighth yep. grade hooker.
And people were like, how much? And you're like, Almond Joy.
Yeah. Tell me about it, stud.
That's right.
Give me two, would you like the
two Hubba Bubbas?
Two Hubba Bubbas, baby.
I like
some
that.
Of that.
Oh, dear.
Okay. No, that was good.
Child sex trafficking. Hey, let's wrap up the intro.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes or no, did you guys ever bob for apples?
Yes, and gross.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, on a lot of different levels.
I didn't think about it at the time, but now looking back, it makes me
COVID,
stomach.
Right?
Yeah, no, like a petri dish. And also, I don't like apple skin. Like, I like I apple even, juice. I don't like biting into
yeah.
an apple.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I don't like that, but just the thought of, like, the whole probably top layer.
Well, how many people missed, and there's, like, yes. little chunks, like, oh, there's some ooh, teeth marks in that
okay.
one.
Okay, let's not talk ooh, about it.
I'll be able to get that one easy, because there's already yeah. a bite mark.
Yeah,
that's easier. Yeah.
Got some leverage. Yeah, there's probably Halloween, like, facial glitter and
oh,
stuff
oh,
in there.
Gross, yeah. gross. Oh, don't say the glitter.
Hey, it's not so funny now, is it?
No, it's not.
Let's stop our stomachs from turning and come back with the meat.
Okay.
Disco meat.
Ooh, meat.
All right, meat.
Don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times. Blame it on the boogie. Don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times. Blame it on the boogie.
All right, guys, we're back with the meat, and this one is Blame It on the Boogie. It's a little disco show I thought about. Actually, I had a dream about it. It's kind of weird. And so in my head, I was like, did disco really suck? I mean, everybody's like, remember back in the day, they had T-shirts that said disco suck, this mm-hmm. and that. But I'm like, as Lisa, the next morning, I go, did disco really suck? What do we think about disco? I mean, are you believing all the shirts, the hype that disco sucked or what? So we decided we'd make a little show about it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, what kind of ideas do you have there, Miss Lisa?
So, did disco suck? What do you guys think?
Did disco suck?
No, I don't think it sucked at all. Uh-huh. I think it was just right for the time and place.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of started with the things that I liked about it because that was the birth and rise of disco.
Uh-huh.
And it just went perfectly with the times. Just like you needed all of those freedom and anti-war anthems and everything in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I think with 70s, it was all about escapism and drug culture. And the best thing about disco, I think, whether you think it's silly or not, and, it, you know, at the time we were too young to tell. We were mm-hmm. kids. But it didn't just go by itself. It created not only that culture, like with Studio 54 and all that, but dances,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so like with the 50s, you have that kind of music, but then you have the sock hops or mm-hmm. whatever. 60s didn't really have dancing unless you count Hair the Musical, which
well, yeah,
I think came out.
Like, yeah,
all the hippie
yeah, shit.
Kind of
yeah.
flowing yeah. And whatever. And this was actually like structured popular dances that
do
could
the hustle.
Only go,
yeah.
exactly,
mm-hmm.
that could only get thank
mm-hmm.
you to that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great, but also you can only do that small subgenre of whatever for a short amount of time. It just, it wore out its welcome.
It
served its purpose.
Yeah, it had a run of from the 70s to the 80s. A good yeah. 10 years is what they said well, that disco kind of ran.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the 70s ran from the...
No, disco ran from the 70s to the 80s, you know.
1970 to 1979.
79, buddy. It was great. The look on Lisa's face was like, huh?
Disco ran for 10 years.
Yeah, disco.
I wasn't going to say that the 70s ran for 10 years.
Well, okay. And I think it was cool, too, it was so influenced by funk and all these other people that weren't getting an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. You have who's a parliament guy?
George Clinton.
Yes, I was almost said Bill Clinton. He is also funky with his saxophone.
George Clinton and the funky, Parliament.
But,
yeah.
You know, you have that mishmash of sounds that weren't getting any traction on their own. And when you mix it with the glam and the drugs and everything else, mm-hmm. there were some very talented musicians that finally got an audience.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
The shoes and the clothes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I put that, the clothes and the platform shoes.
Did we like those or no?
And white guys with afros.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
My dad had an afro.
You know what they call those now?
What?
They call them the natural. Did they always call it that?
With African Americans or?
Well, I only know this from crossword puzzles.
I think.
No, but like it would say, one of the clues would be a natural hairstyle is called blank, four letters, starts with A, ends with O, has an F and an R in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Afro.
The natural. Natural.
Have you guys ever heard that? Or is it just my crossword
people? I think I've heard it.
Okay.
But
okay.
Just in passing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
but. Because I had that natural, you know, yeah, I've heard some people say it.
But Pam Grier, oh my God, what a beautiful outfit.
Oh, yeah, she had a wicked one, man.
Yeah, so good.
So did we like those kind of clothes? Like, I mean, I looking back...
I remember the first time I got my first pair of bell-bottom jeans.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You were happy about it?
Yeah, the noise they made. You know, because I had corduroys.
I didn't at the time, and I don't really now. I mean, it seems very costumey.
Yeah.
To me, like a cowboy outfit for people that don't actually work on a ranch. It's like, what look are you trying to achieve here? You don't need that head-to-toe situation unless you're going to, you know, a cowboy bar or you work on a ranch.
Right.
But the disco thing... it seemed, you know, my mom made all my clothes in the 70s, so it seemed like not flattering, you know, and synthetic everything, everything satin or polyester and stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't get it, but, you know, you really had nowhere to hide in the 70s.
True.
If you weren't attractive, there weren't a lot of good plastic surgeons, good makeup artists or anything else. Either you were Blondie or Stevie Nicks, or you were kind of... Not.
Carol Channing.
Hey, she's a good-looking woman.
Okay. She was when she was young.
Okay.
What do you think was the best thing altogether about the 70s, the disco era?
The funny thing about it was this is one of my most vivid memory. I mean, I had older brother and sisters, you know, and they were totally into it. So the music was always playing throughout the house. I'd see my brother Jeff, he'd get ready to go after the gold rush, but they had, you know, and he did the same thing, got the whole John Travolta look going on.
He looked like Freddie Prinze.
Brother does look like Freddie Prinze, but he'd have a, you know, long sleeve shirt buttoned up to about here and then slacks with his, you know, with his black platforms on and stuff. But, I remember when we went to go see Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
And I mean, I was just blown away by the dance floor, the lights, the music, everything.
The choreography.
Yes. And I'm like, what was I, 7, 8 years old or something? I go, that is the shit, you know, in my head.
And people dressed up to go.
Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, all the guys had nice little
like suits
and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think that's one thing that kind of blew me away. And, you know, like you say, all the different dancing that there was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
How about you?
What do you think,
Shell?
Well, two things that I really liked about it was, I'll save the second one because that could be a spinoff for the end, but it was an influence for so many other musical styles. Like I said, it kind of came from this funky, underappreciated genre into, you know, now it's sampled in so much popular music that, you know, your kids and your grandkids know the song even though they've never heard the original song.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For instance, like Play That Funky Music is sampled in everything.
True.
By Chic. No, that's Black Cherry or something Cherry.
The Black Cherry played
Super Freak.
Yep.
Come on, it's on You Can't Touch Le This and everything else.
Say Freak.
Yep.
Freak out.
Yep. So there's so many. I think it's probably the primary source of most samples in modern popular music.
True.
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah. Well,
Go ahead. It's kind of funny, too. I don't know if you remember, but even Kiss got in on the disco.
That's what I was going to say.
Right. Yes. That's right.
So, well, the best thing I think about the disco era was the ball.
Oh, yeah, the disco ball, for sure. Iconic, yes.
Yeah, I have on there who survived the disco era and definitely Kiss. I mean, they got in on it and stuff, but they were... they were before
yes.
disco, and then they and did evolved. Their disco thing, and then it evolved. And
got right back into yeah, yeah,
the end. Back Would into you rock. Say I Was Made for Loving You was kind of disco? It's got a little mm-hmm, bit of yeah. that beat. Yeah, mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. they went more metal.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So who do you think fizzled after disco?
There's so there was a lot that well, okay, Donna Summer, she's kind of in the middle, right?
I thought she fizzled well, right after.
She's the queen of disco.
Yeah.
But then she had that short stint in the 80s where she was doing some pop stuff like She Works Hard for the Money.
Yeah.
You know, so she had a good album.
Did she do a song for
Fame, too? No, that's Irene Carey.
Well, that's Irene yeah. Carey. Yeah, okay. But no, yeah, you're right. Donna Summer did kind of...
Yeah, and then they well, kept her alive with the SNL skit a little bit.
Yeah.
But Donna, you know. You know, but yeah, oh there were so God. Many one-hit wonders there or songs that we all know, but you don't know the names of the people.
There was a movie yeah. that came out that used one of Donna Summer's old songs, and it kind of did the same thing that they did with the Kate Bush thing. It kind of brought her back up into the
oh, really?
To the charts again. I can't remember what the movie was, but they did use a Donna Summer song, and then they're like, guess who's back at number two again, you know, 20 years later or something weird. But
well, and when she died, which wasn't that long ago, what, maybe 4 years ago, something like that?
It kind or of, 2012.
I know I'm terrible with that.
Yeah.
Just to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it brought her back into the forefront, unfortunately, like when people pass do. But I think her music still stays pretty strong 40 oh, yeah. years
yeah.
later.
Yeah, I just think that she was that was her heyday.
Oh, definitely. And, definitely. Yeah. Daryl and I were talking about this. If you were good with the who fizzled out thing, mm-hmm. the spoofs, the disco spoofs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I thought they were great. And he brought up Disco Duck, which may have been the catalyst for this whole episode. Maybe that's what he was dreaming about was the Disco Duck, because we talked about it several episodes ago in the Duck Derby. Uh-huh. But my very first LP, well, there was a few of them from Columbia House, and my first shipment was...
Do you still owe for that?
Yes, I okay, do. Cool. I do. They keep sending me notices.
Yeah, it's a penny.
Yeah,
just but a
it
penny.
It was yeah. Sesame Street Fever.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a fold-out, mm-hmm. so imagine a big record thing, but then it has two center panels, or three, yeah. maybe, and it had, instead of the three Bee Gees brothers on the inside on each panel, was Grover in a white suit, I oh, think Cookie Monster nice. In a white suit, and maybe
Jack I think it was Bert and Ernie
might have been in there, too, yeah. but they were all wearing the white suits,
uh-huh.
and, you know, they did a disco spin on all of their Sesame Street uh-huh. songs, and what a franchise, Sesame Street. Talk about going with the flow,
mm-hmm.
and what's cool, and staying relevant to people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still down in your mom's basement by chance? Because that's probably worth some money.
We had a stack of LPs, probably almost taller than Lisa.
Wow.
We were going to have Brian and
That's his new DJ name.
Yeah, over and just listen to old records and stuff. But the spoofs and the playfulness with disco, I thought was great. And also that I just watched Smokey and the Bandit 2, 3, and 4 the other night.
Nice.
So that playfulness, like with the CB and trucker culture and mm-hmm. all of that stuff, yeah. and some of the silly songs, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
People take themselves way too seriously now, and also everything's so branded, which is probably why I don't remember a lot of these disco artists, because they didn't have their own perfume line, or they True. Didn't, you know, have their face on the cover of the album. It was artwork or
yeah. Yeah,
or whatever. Definitely. But I hope that they don't get forgotten like I forgot them.
You'll never forget Sesame Street.
What impact what's their name
I just,
had?
I just had a Saturday afternoon flashback when she started talking about the trucker. Remember it being the album? Break of a nine, is anyone there? Come on back and talk to the teddy bear.
Oh, that was a good one. Oh, and Convoy.
Gosh. Yeah.
Convoy.
Did your grandparents have that?
I'm sure.
Yeah. But I did. You were talking about it. I could see the commercial, and there's a diesel flying down the highway, and they're all, and remember this hit? And you're like.
Oh, for those of you that miss the 70s, you're really missing out.
Yeah, sorry.
You could smell it.
Yeah. It smells like polyester. Yes. Cocaine.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Well, that's our meat. Yes. Here.
Sure.
You guys got anything else?
No.
Daryl?
No.
No.
No. No.
All right. No. Well, then.
That was a lot of disco meat.
We're ready.
I got some glitter in my teeth.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
This was surprising to me. So I was looking for people that sampled disco music, and there's Legion. There's tons. But did you guys know that Madonna samples ABBA, Give Me a Man After Midnight, in one of her songs?
No.
I think it's Hung Up. Look it up.
Okay.
We'll listen to it later.
Well, there you go.
That's all I got. I just wanted to have the last word.
I wish disco. I would have thought about it, because we have a disco ball down here. I could have had it hanging.
You could have, but nobody was sad because this is a
Patreon
would see it, and they're the most important.
That's right.
Yay! We'll be back with what you're talking about.
Already. Look at me. I'm the disco.
Witches, welcome back to this Halloween disco episode. Ooh. It's two of our favorite things all wrapped up into one messy and semi-cohesive package. This is the section of the show that we call Witcha Talking About because we're funny and punny. Our first Witcha is from Lisa Pavich Brown, my friend and cohort. Take it away.
Hey, so I got this. I don't know if you guys know. Probably Shelley does because she listens to some of the same podcasts I do, but that there's like a big joke that Florida has the kookiest people or whatever.
So a joke? This, I mean, it's not real.
Well, no, it's not, but it's like kind of, what would you say? How do you say that?
Well, I mean, that's how stereotypes get started. Yes. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, it's very stereotypical that the craziest people do, the craziest shit happens in Florida. But anyways, this is a Florida never disappoints. A Florida man steals $35,000 worth of rare coins and cashes them at a Coinstar machine for $29.30.
Oh, my God. That just makes my stomach sick.
Yeah.
Hey, keep being dumb, you big dummy.
So Shane Anthony Mell, M-E-L-E, a 20-year-old from Riviera Beach, Florida, steals rare coins worth $33,000 from a rare coin shop. When he was unable to find a buyer, he put the coins in a Coinstar machine in a local grocery store and received face value for them. Police were able to connect Mel to the crime using security camera footage from the machine.
So they were probably able to retrieve the coins, thank God, because they okay.
But the thing is, though, the picture of this guy, it says he's a 20-year-old man. If this guy is 20, he just, I mean, he's lived a life.
Oh,
man.
No.
Oh, damn. Like, he looks road hard and put away.
I feel like
I know that guy.
I feel like this is the wrong picture, but I will put it up on the Facebook page. But yeah, poor
dude.
He
looks like the Silence of the Lamb guy that tucks his wiener in between.
Oh, you think?
A little bit. Little I crazy eyes. Yes. For $29.
Fuck me for $29.
He did fuck himself for $33,000.
Yeah, he did. Oh, my God. Are you sure you don't want it? Even $100.
Right.
Do you know what this is worth?
How do I know those coins are real? Well, screw it. I'm going to Coinstar.
Yeah, it's like, I just need some McDonald's.
Well, that... Okay, Daryl, let's just go home. That has to be the winner.
That's it.
Go for it, buddy.
That's it. I'm going to stick a little bit with the with our theme of the show today. I got a little bit of more like info about the old disco era, which began in 1970 and ended in 1980. The disco movement started as an underground sculpture in the 1960s and 70s and became a mainstream fad after the release of the 1977 film Fever Night. Oh, Saturday Night Fever. And Fever Night. Saturday Night Fever. Fever Night.
Fever Night.
Fever Night.
Fever Night.
You don't have to do it.
But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah. Was Grover in it?
A little more info. Yeah.
Yeah, let's party.
Nice Grover.
Thank you for that, Manwich.
Yeah, that's extra.
My witch you're talking about is from the AP News.
Ooh.
A New Zealand airport wants you to hug goodbye faster.
I almost used that. You only have 3 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Travelers leaving the New Zealand city of Dunedin will have to keep their emotional farewells brief after a new 3-minute time limit was imposed.
Is that a drop-off? Or?
Yes. So here's a picture I'm going to send you guys. It's so cute. It has like stick figures embracing. Says max hug time, 3 minutes. For fonder farewells, please use the car park. So it says on the goodbye hugs in the airport's drop-off area in order to prevent lingering cuddles from causing traffic jams. That's amazing. That's a good way to be efficient. It's like, I love you for 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
I think when I dropped you guys off at the airport, we beat the 3-minute mark.
We were like
hug out.
Yeah, right. He wanted us to GTFO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Nice. Well,
yeah, that's hilarious. I saw that and I almost used it. Okay. I love AP News.
Me too.
I will.
Here she is with that.
I'm an I.
Her alter ego again.
I don't know.
You, the royal
okay.
you.
Be back with WoW.
Oh, God.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh yeah, he's the man witch. Oh yeah.
Wow. It's WoW time. Wow. Lisa's alter ego had to go live in WoW we were. All right, guys, here we are with our WoW moment. And I don't have to explain what it is, because by now, if you don't know, you haven't shown your appreciation to the WoW.
Exactly. So, you're coming in late.
That's right. You're coming in late. We're coming in
Maybe
hot with the WoW.
It's your first time. Maybe we should just
It is
them.
Your first time.
Oh, we're supposed to be gentle on the first time? That's what she said.
Yep, that's right.
So WoW is our well of wisdom, and my well of wisdom is animals. So I'm going to tell you a little story about a turtle, or several. Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across the Vermont Lake into Canada by kayak. This is coming from Burlingham, Virginia.
This is my kind of criminal.
Vermont is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. It started with a V. Burlington, Vermont. A woman from China pleaded guilty on Friday to attempting to smuggle 29 eastern box turtles, a protected species, across the Vermont Lake. Vermont? It's now I'm saying it, it sounds weird. Vermont Lake into Canada by kayak. Wang Yi Ning, 41, was arrested on the morning of June 28th at an Airbnb in Cannes, and she was about to get into an inflatable kayak with a duffel bag on Lake Wallace, according to the Border Patrol agents affiliated in the federal case. Agents have been notified by Royal Canadian Mounted Police that two other people, including a man who was believed to be her husband, had started to paddle an inflatable watercraft from the Canadian side of the lake towards the United States, according to court documents. The agents searched her heavy duffel bag and found 29 live eastern box turtles individually wrapped in socks. The affidavit stated, eastern box turtles are known to be sold on the Chinese black market for $1,000 each, the Ooh. Affidavit stated. I wonder if they eat them.
Those are some like, righteous bucks.
There's turtle soup, so mm-hmm. maybe that's the kind, I don't know, it promotes virility.
Okay.
I don't know.
Her cell phone was seized and searched by the law enforcement, found communications showing she tried to smuggle the turtles into Canada so they could eventually be sold for a profit in Hong Kong, according to the plea agreement. Ning NG, which has no vowels in it, from Hong Kong, was living in Canada. She pleaded guilty on Friday to one count of unlawful attempt to export and send 29 eastern box turtles out of the United States, contrary to law. She is scheduled to be sentenced in December and faces up to 10 years in prison and a fine up to $250,000.
Oh, that seems excessive.
It really does.
There's some bad guys out there getting away with shit. Mm-hmm. And then
there's people who murder people who get plea deals for $10.
I'll give you $10.
I would give you $10. You let me a pop of this.
And let me kill your wife.
And this turtle.
There's some people who kill people who get only 10 years.
Yes, mm-hmm. I hear you.
I
don't think what she did was right.
No.
And let the turtles live.
Yes.
And, but yeah, the sentencing seems extreme.
Yeah.
I hope she learned a little something.
Well, yeah. I hope everyone learns from her example.
Exactly. Yeah. But I will also say that she is a much more savvy criminal than your coin master.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, at least she was going to make some.
She individually wrapped them. She knew.
Here's the thing, though. If they were going to eat them, I guess she could have put them on ice. But why keep them alive? I mean, maybe you had
they're probably only about like this big when they're baby rocked.
Oh.
So they wanted to get nice and meaty.
Right.
Maybe so.
Yeah. But what I was hoping was going to happen when you said it was an inflatable raft, I thought one of them little turtles gave it a nibbit and they sunk. I thought maybe they sunk that ship.
No,
darn it.
That's not what happened.
And have you ever noticed? Battleship. Have you ever noticed when Lisa says anything with a V, like she's like, Virginia.
Vermont.
Vermont.
Virginia.
Virginia.
I love it.
You're
it's
so
charming.
Cute, honey.
Don't change.
I will. I can't. Yes. I just can't.
For life.
And that's what my wow.
I
almost said that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this.
You're talking about wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if this is your first time listening, my wow is about music. Shelley put me onto the music scene. So
that's his well of wisdom.
That's my wow of wisdom. My wow wisdom is music. But I kind of thought I'd just keep going on. This is some of the top songs that were in the disco era. Maybe you liked them. Maybe you know. But I'll say a list. And if you haven't heard them, go back and give them a little listen because they were great. But
they didn't suck.
You know, we always had the We Are Family, We Are Family
yes.
by Sister Sledge. Disco Inferno, The Tramps.
Mm-hmm.
Funky Town, Lip Inks.
I think you should let us sing every single one
yeah.
of them.
Yes. But did you know that Funky Town... The long version, we played a game just not too long ago. How would you say, how many minutes would you say the long version of Funky Town?
Didn't we?
That was in a Gata
Divina.
It's a long one. 9 minutes.
17.
What?
Again? Yeah. Just the same as in a Gata Divina?
That's 17 minutes. I don't know.
That's a lot of your life wasted if you play them together.
We
concurrently.
We got I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sister.
Yeah.
Knocking on Wood. Amy
Ooh,
Stewart.
That's a good one.
No, knock
on wood.
Baby.
Knock on wood.
And then one of my favorites by Michael Jackson, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Oh, that's a favorite.
And then, of course, the one that I think everybody liked to get once you heard this, and even as a kid, you got out on the dance floor, was Get Down Tonight by Casey and the Sunshine
Band. Casey and the Sunshine Band.
They had some hits,
hit
man.
Maker.
Yeah. Yes. But,
he was handsome, too.
That's, he was.
Yeah. Casey. Yeah, he was. He was pretty handsome. He not so much now.
I don't know if he's alive.
I think
but
he is.
Yeah,
the
he
Casey
is. He's still
stands
going.
For Cool Cat.
Really?
Yeah.
Loves LL Cool J.
Or Kevin Charles. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that's my wow of wisdom, guys. And what do you got for us, Michelle?
So my true crime rule number 44, my well of wisdom is true crime. this week, it's the combo, the Halloween disco combo, which is my favorite thing. So this is a Halloween true crime rule.
Listen up.
Okay. Thank you. Her scream is so good.
It is.
True crime rule number 44, learn from horror movie tropes.
That's horror.
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 Number one, ladies, don't fall down when you run. Number two, make sure your car battery is in good shape. Number three, don't rely on the landline. Snippy, snippy. Bad guy likey. Here's your cell. It's 2024.
Here's your cell.
Number four.
The guy on the other line is like.
Pick up your cell, dipshit.
And then it's snippy.
Don't split up. Everybody's better in pairs.
Safety in numbers.
Yes, that's right. Get the back
guy.
Don't say, hey, I'm going to check out that noise.
Alone.
Don't do it. What are you, Shaggy and Scoob?
like, wow, Scoobs.
Exactly. Number five. Don't buy a haunted house or build your house on a Mi'kmaq burial ground. This is more of a spiritual guide than a true crime rule, but just don't do it.
Did you say Mi'kmaq paddywhack give a...
I did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did. Unless you want to reanimate your pet, in which case, enter at your own risk.
Right.
If a charming guy with a chainsaw seems too good to be true, He probably is. He might be a maniac that will steal your identity and cheat on you and max out your credit cards to buy other girls' trips and dress as a military officer to charm the pants off nurses for prescription drugs. I mean, I'm not looking at anybody in particular.
Mm-hmm. Or it could happen. Just kill you.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful out there, ladies.
And don't have sex.
With anybody.
Yeah, well, because then they'll stab you and stab you together.
Has Friday the 13th taught us nothing?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, hideaway camp, all of those things.
Yeah.
Keep your britches on.
That's right. There'll be plenty of time to sex and survive later.
Exactly. And so that is my Halloween true crime. Careful out there.
Pick up your cell phone. Stop having sex with that person.
I'm in the house. I'm near the cell phone tower.
Hang up right now and pick up your cell phone.
Are you watching the children? Anybody's kids. It doesn't matter. It sounds creepier in my head. I'm going to kill the kid with a gum.
Oh, no.
Thank you guys for listening to another spooky Stay Alive episode.
You can tell by the way I use my ghost. I'm a rose. It was a rape.
It was a reach, but it made me giggle.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone who came to the live show. We'll be talking about that soon. You'll be able to see it on Patreon, though, before we even talk about it. So get on that Patreon, people. Go to goodwitchbadwitch.com.
That's all, folks.
Go to Goodwitch.
Slow down.
It's okay. Breathe, honey.
Go to goodwitchbadwitch.com. To sign up for Patreon for only $5 a month.
Good call.
That wasn't me. That was the creepy guy. And leave us a review. 5-star.
Yeah.
That's all.
And tell a friend. And stay classy, witches.
Stay classy, bitches. Classy. We both said classy.
Guys both?
It was a Halloween joke.
Let's redo it. Okay. Do it again.
Stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy, my friends.
It's over now.
It's over.